What's up, everybody? Today on the podcast, it's an emergency reaction to some groundbreaking news in college football with USC and UCLA bailing for the Big Ten, and also Kevin Durant requesting a trade. Could that impact the Lakers of all teams? I know it's crazy, but we'll break it down. I'm bringing on my friend Jordan Smith to react to this stuff yet again. And let's get to that conversation right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Matt Biamonte podcast. It is an emergency edition because today, June 30th, 2022, recording this a little after 2 p.m., has been one of the craziest days in sports because there are groundbreaking stories across multiple sports. And to help me break it all down and to react is Jordan Smith yet again. Welcome back in. He was here on the last edition. And he's coming back for another one because I love talking NBA with you, Jordan, but we also got to touch on some college football stuff.
Can't wait. This is exciting news.
Okay. Well, let's just start there. The two things we're going to be discussing are the rumors that USC and UCLA are basically out the door of the Pac-12 on their way to the Big Ten, and then also Kevin Durant, I think, pretty unexpectedly asking for a trade the day after Kyrie Irving hops into his deal with the Nets, which is fascinating to say the least. Let's start with college football. I think that one is just a hair above the Kevin Durant news because after the Big 12 added some teams with the departure of Oklahoma and Texas, and I think I just buried the lead there, Jordan, as they were the ones leaving the Big 12, heading to the SEC, and then it was backfilled. Kind of felt like, okay, that's it, because the Big 12 grabbed, if not the four best teams that weren't power teams, four of the what, five or six? I mean, I guess you could really split hairs over, did Boise State need to be in there over UCF? I don't know, Houston, but really, I think it was pretty clear those were the four correct options for the Big 12 at the time a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now, USC and UCLA, I have so many thoughts. But they're expected to go to the Big 10. There's more money in the Big 10, which, there's more money in the Big 10 than the Pac-12. That's not a surprise. And I guess that offsets the increased cost in playing in a league that is in the opposite corner of the country from you. But so here's my first couple thoughts. Number one, the Pac-12 is in trouble. The Pac-12 is in real trouble because there are other good teams left in that league that I am sure are going to be fielding multiple offers from multiple conferences. Number two is, when does this end? Because what's the end goal here? I mean, at some point, the conferences have to stop adding because it's not going to add the value to increase the money. I think the thing driving this right now is, let's take Texas and Oklahoma as an example, Jordan. Mm-hmm. They left for the SEC because they would make more money. But at what point do you keep adding teams? Does the payout become less? And I think we might be there with the SEC. And I think we're definitely there now with the Big Ten. There's going to be some more money there because USC is a big name and so is UCLA. But it's not like they'll be the first conference to 16 teams. But if you continue to add, at what point does the payout per school start to go down? And I don't know if these conferences and these teams want that to happen. And then thirdly, and we can discuss this a little later, I find it very interesting that it was this pairing out of the Pac-12 because geographically it makes all the sense in the world, but no one would tell you that UCLA has been the best team in that conference in the past 10 years. And the reason I bring up this point ultimately is because there have been other situations where this has not happened. This is really the first time where geographically a pair is going somewhere and it makes sense. You know, that didn't happen with BYU and Utah. Utah didn't advocate for BYU. That didn't happen when Texas A&M went to the SEC at the same time. They didn't advocate for Texas. They went with Missouri. So I just find it very interesting that those two schools work together so closely, and this is the first time this has seemingly happened when there were other opportunities for rivals to pair together on a move, and that didn't happen. So those are the three things that really jump out to me. What was your initial reaction to the news that USC is out of the Pac-12?
Down goes the Pac-12. They're dead. That's my first reaction.
Probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, they could add San Diego State and a few other, Boise State. They could limp along, but I mean, that conference was already struggling money-wise. They were complaining about the lack of revenue, and you take out the biggest market in California. That's, I don't know how you ever replace that. Oklahoma and Texas leaving, I mean, that's obviously was a big blow to the Big 12, but you still have teams in Texas and Oklahoma. There's still a lot there. So this feels different than what happened with the Big 12. And I imagine that the Big 12, I could see the Big 10 going after a couple more teams. I don't think there's a cap on teams, maybe 16.
So 20. Wait. Stop right there. If the Big 10 goes after more teams, then they would exceed 16 teams.
Is there a rule saying you can't have more than 16?
No, there's not. But I think the general consensus was these teams would try to get to 16 to have divisions, even though you don't need divisions now, but it's like 8 and 8. But if they're going to go above 16, then my goodness, where does it end?
Maybe we just have two conferences, you know, a north and a south.
It's starting to feel that way a little bit. Man, there's so many interesting. I hear that team sound in the background there too. I know that team's jingle all too well. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this do as well, but there are so many ways to think about this.
I lost you there for a second.
Oh, I was just saying we heard the team sound in the background. We know that sound all too well. That jingle. No. It's all good. This podcast is, you know, we're trying to be professional here, but you know, as we all have lives, things happen. It's all good. So the thing that is interesting about the Pac-12 potentially disbanding is there are still two great entities left on the table here. I think it's going to be a mad dash because it wasn't that way with the Big 12. When Texas and Oklahoma went, there wasn't a mad dash for Baylor, Oklahoma State, Kansas. Maybe there was, but it felt like those teams wanted to get out of the shadow of Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know if Oregon necessarily feels that way. I wonder if Oregon feels like we got to go too, rather than, oh, let's band together the 10 of us and build something new. Maybe, I don't know, because obviously the Cals of the world, the Oregon States of the world, the Washington States of the world, they're going to want to do what the Big 12 did. Let's band together. Let's rebuild. But the big difference is, what does Oregon and Washington want to do? Yeah. Because they could, yeah, I guess they could go to the Big 10. My only question would be, if adding those two teams to the mix, does that increase the payout per team? I would argue it does not. Does the SEC want to get involved with those teams? That's a pretty big jump from where they're playing. To me, this is what I would love to see happen. I think, and you've got to give credit to the SEC for starting this domino. You're either going forwards or backwards, right? In life, it just kind of feels like there's no sitting stagnant. You're either going one way or you're going the other. And the SEC is continually pushed forward. And it made the Big Ten do the same. Which conference left is going to be ultra aggressive and continue to go forward? I would argue this is the time for the Big 12 to go to 16 teams and just say, you know, forget this. We know we got this Texas-Oklahoma piece, but let's Let's get it. Let's get to 16 now. Let's not wait till the SEC does it. Let's not wait until maybe the SEC gets to 16. Let's be the next conference to get to 16. And there's so many different pairings that would be interesting to add four teams to the Big 12 to get to 16. What do you think of that idea? And if you like it, who would you want in to a 16-team Big 12?
I love that idea. I think that's exactly what they should be doing. If they're not on the phone calling Pac-12 teams right now, then they're not doing their job, in my opinion.
Yep.
I think Oregon is obviously the biggest fish there. I think that's – I mean, the money from Nike and everything, that's that would be huge. I mean, Washington is great at football, but I think I would put them below – I think I would rather have the Arizonas. So I definitely – Oregon would be my first pick. And then Arizona, and then Arizona State.
Well, and then I think the fourth one's obvious.
It's either Washington or Utah.
Wow. Okay. It wasn't as obvious as I thought. To me, under that scenario, and I'm with you in the first three, it's Colorado all day long. Because Colorado was in the Big 12. They've proven that they can be good in that conference. I think geographically, it makes a lot more sense. I would be taking Colorado back. I mean, obviously Oregon's the first call, but if they say, hey, we're going to another place, to me it's Arizona's, Colorado, and then one other.
I guess my mindset, I mean, you're right, geologically, and the fact they were in the conference before, but I'm just wanting the best four football teams I can get to, just to legitimize the conference as much as possible. But, you know, distance and things, that does matter as well. So, I mean, and I hate Utah. I hope Utah gets left out. But if I'm being rational here, I would say they're one of the couple of the maybe the two or three better football teams left. If you could have them in the conference, that's not a bad thing.
No, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But I think you also have to look at this from a money perspective, Jordan, because money is driving everything here. That's the bottom line. It's all money. Right. And if you bring in Utah, you get good football, but does that move the number at from a TV perspective? I would say no, it doesn't. And so then you have to wonder, well, does adding the Salt Lake market do anything to us? Oh, wait, we already have the Salt Lake market. That's the right thing, where if you get into Arizona, you get a new market. And then, I don't know, could I would argue even getting Cal would be an upgrade over Utah, because then you're tapping into San Francisco. So, Cal, you know, maybe it's Arizona and Stanford and Cal. Go ahead.
I would love that. If you can't get Oregon, that's the dream scenario, those four.
I would agree.
Yeah, Stanford, Cal, and the Arizonas.
But I just think Colorado makes sense in the Big 12. That's the only thing. I think it makes sense in the Big 12. And maybe your point about bigger than 16, hey, maybe you go to 20. Maybe you absorb, I mean, that would leave two Pac-12 teams out to dry, but maybe you go 20, and then you could really go east-west. And financially, it's a different conversation with the Big 12 than it is the other two conferences, because the money's already a lot lower. So could you keep the per team payout in the 30 millions, but get to 20? Maybe.
I got to imagine too, when the TV contracts come up, having less conferences as well. I mean, at that point, even if there are more teams, instead of dividing the money five ways, you know, obviously the SEC and the Big Ten have been making more, but
that's a good
point
too.
You're not paying the Pac-12 anymore. You're paying three or four conferences.
So that's teams. Yeah, that's several hundred million dollars back into the pool to pay to a super conference in theory.
I'm curious what the ACC is going to do, or if they can do anything. Is people calling Clemson right now trying to get them in the SEC, or what's happening there?
I think there's two paths here, honestly. There's just an unbelievable ripple effect that will change the landscape more than it ever has. And that could be maybe teams like West Virginia, UCF, Cincinnati, maybe they go to the ACC. And then it would open up more spots for West Coast teams to go into the Big 12. And then you have maybe four four even conference numbers, which I like the idea of that. Because West Virginia, to me, I don't know. I just, even though geography has nothing to do with this, I still romanticize the rivalries, the geography of college football. And it would be nice to get back to that a little bit, even though USC going to the Big Ten spits in the face of that idea. But if everyone, I think, is on the prowl, that's the thing. So it's who can sell a vision between the ACC and the Big 12. It's, the thing that's going to be hard too, though, with the ACC is it's just the conversation we're having here is all about money. But if you add four teams from the Pac-12 and you have to travel cross country, does that increase the payout? I don't know. Maybe it does. So it's very interesting now.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to watch the news and watch Twitter these next few days and weeks for all the different things that will come pouring in, all the rumors, hot takes.
So you may have already answered this, but just to put a bow on this conversation, what do you want to see happen? What's your – if you could wave a magic wand over the situation and this is what happens to college football after this, what would it be?
The Pac-12 dies. Utah is left out. They have to join the Mountain West. And the Big 12 gets Oregon, the Arizonas, and let's say Stanford.
Wow. I don't think Utah is going to get left out of anything, but that would be wild. Utah's going to get picked up by somebody.
Pac-12 stickers looking these days, huh?
Last point. I didn't want to talk much BYU because I'll do that on my radio show, but who would have thought 12 years after the original wave of expansion that BYU would be in a more secure Power 5 position than Utah? Not many people.
Yeah, including me. I don't know that I would have. I mean, I enjoyed independence, don't get me wrong, but definitely felt slighted by the fact that we did not get an invite. So, and now that conference is crumbling and the future of the Big 12 is looking, the Big 12 is not the SEC, they're not the Big 10, but there's a good foundation here in it, and there's a chance to add some more schools. So the future looks bright.
It's going to be really important for the Big 12 to try to keep everyone intact, because that, even though things have been agreed upon and signed, doesn't mean people can't leave. So that's going to be a big task for the Big 12 too, to try and stay intact and add upon rather than lose more people. And then, so we're in for a wild year probably in college football, though.
I agree. I'm excited. Okay.
Switching to the NBA. Your specialty, Kevin Durant demands a trade. Anyone who knows what Kevin Durant wants to do is probably lying to you. Because we talked about this last time, but a smart human being would have stayed in Golden State. He would have won a butt ton of NBA championships. He would have made a lot of money. I think the wise move would have been to always stay there, never go to Brooklyn, but it's Kevin Durant. He's a little different than other superstars the league has seen. And Brooklyn fails. It kind of blew up probably because of Kyrie Irving, but also because of Kevin Durant, because that's what Kevin Durant wanted to do. He wanted to play with this guy who, you know, there were signs then that he wasn't to be relied upon when it came time to win. Even though he had that game-winning shot in the finals over Steph for Cleveland, that was one shot. One shot does not make up for all the other things that have happened negatively. So, yeah, he wins the chip with the game-winning shot, but he also forces Cleveland to trade him, threatening to have knee surgery in the middle of the season or before the season began. Then there's the Boston thing where, hey, I love you guys, I'll be here as long as you want, and then he wants out. And then there's the stuff that happened in Brooklyn. Anyways, point I'm trying to get to here is Kevin Durant is an interesting guy. And we don't know what the motivation is next, but there's not a lot of teams that I think could offer a good enough package that would make sense for the Nets. So this rambling here by me, Jordan, leads me to the question. Where do you think Kevin Durant's going to go? What are some trades that you think would make sense?
Before I answer that fully, I have a question for you.
Ooh.
Right now, as a Laker fan, would you trade AD straight up for KD?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I don't even have, I don't have to think about that because KD is a, he wants to win. He's a proven winner. And he does all the things that you want in a star, even though he may be a little sensitive. Maybe he does some things that are weird. You know what you can't question about Kevin Durant? That he loves ball. He loves playing basketball. That's like the greats in the league. Has there been a great player in the history of the NBA that you look at and say, does he love playing? No. The answer is no. It's definitively no. Jordan, Kobe, Steph, LeBron, KD, like, they love playing ball. Like, there's no videos of them not touching a basketball for 2 months. These guys don't come into camp out of shape, right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I would do that all day long. I know he's older, but – and I have mixed feelings about this, Jordan. What do the Lakers do? Do they just keep going all in year after year after year for LeBron? I don't love that. However – it's also kind of what you signed up for, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So you're still in it. I mean, LeBron's not bad. So by going after Kevin Durant, you're saying, what, we got two more years here? Let's do what we can before this thing bottoms out and we have a 10-year rebuild. So that's not the position I want to be in, but that's the reality of the situation. I want to be the Warriors, man. I want to be winning now and have a future, but that's not the reality of the Lakers.
Yeah, so, you have to wait for the 2030s for that, man.
Yep, you're right. So there's the answer.
All right. So the rumors are the Suns and the Heat are kind of the top. I think Vegas has them as the best odds of landing KD. I think the Suns would be pretty scary if they can keep Devin Booker. Maybe that's where Ayton goes. Ayton gets traded to the Nets. The Nets are in a tricky position because – I was reading this, that the Houston has between pick swaps and picks, the next five drafts are owned by Houston. So they can't just tank and bottom out. So they need to be viable, but so I really don't know. They got to get a player back for sure. And Ayton's not that guy. So maybe
no.
Bridges is involved.
I take the Suns out of it. It makes sense for Kevin Durant to go to the Suns, but it doesn't make sense for the Nets. Like, the best trade for sure to make you relevant and to minimize damage on picks that you gave up to get Harden is the Lakers, dude. And does this make even more sense now to trade Durant and Kyrie to the Lakers for a future first, maybe some seconds, and Russell Westbrook and AD? Because you have AD long-term and he's young. You can still sell that vision. And Russell Westbrook, no one thinks he's a good player anymore. But he is an expiring contract now.
Well, I think the Lakers are getting Kyrie regardless now. I think that's – unless the Mavericks can just overpay, I think that Kyrie Irving is going to be a Los Angeles Laker before the trade deadline. And I know that upsets you, but seems to be the – just the writing on the wall that that's
here's
happening.
The thing though, now that he's opted in, I'm more open to it because you can just say if it goes south, we don't give a rip if you leave.
Right.
Because Westbrook, either way, that's what was going to happen with either player, right? Because the only thing you can sell with Westbrook now is that he's an expiring deal. Like the idea that you could move him for some kind of asset is not reality. Right.
Right.
So you want him gone and you're getting nothing for him. So if that also happens to Kyrie, you're in no different situation. I definitely would not want to give Kyrie Irving any more guarantees than a 2-year deal.
Right.
The idea of a 5-year max makes me want to die as a Lakers fan.
Right. And he's a better player than Westbrook. He's not as
for sure.
He doesn't play. He's got all of the drama.
He's a better offensive player. They're both bad defensive players, and both of them The only difference between the two is that Westbrook is totally reliable in terms of he'll be on the floor. Doesn't mean he's going to be good, but he's going to be on the floor. Kyrie won't be there, but when he's there, he's better.
I have another trade that could rival the Laker one, though. And I'm on the fence on whether I would do this or not. But Zion, a couple picks for KD.
So I wouldn't do that if I'm the Pelicans because KD can't be relied on and has to, I don't know, to be committed for a long time. He hasn't been committed in, geez, I don't know. Has he ever? Yeah. Like, let me finish my thought here. Is he committed to winning and playing basketball? Yes. No one can dispute that. Is he committed to a long-term build is the question I'm saying. And you might say, well, yeah, he did it in Oklahoma. Was he committed or is that what rookies do?
See, in my opinion, I think the Pelicans are a KD away from contending. And
I agree.
I don't think Zion – I would – if I'm the Pelicans, I'm trading Zion this summer. I don't believe that he'll ever be healthy. I don't think he'll have a long career. So, yes, I would sacrifice that with all the extra picks they have for 1 to 2 seasons of take a run at a chip with KD. And you still have a ton of youth and a ton of picks to where you're not mortgaging your future.
Totally.
So I would do it personally.
I just wonder, is that the best move when you could – there's 15 teams in the league that would take on Zion even with all the question marks. And could you get 3 nice pieces and have just great depth and hope that Ingram or somebody becomes – a top 10 player and can maybe, yeah, you know what? Now that I'm speaking it into existence, you're right. Because no one on the Pelicans will ever be as good as Kevin Durant ever. So, and you can't win a chip if you don't have an elite player. So.
And Zion's a big enough piece that you don't have to mortgage, you know, 5 picks. You can keep some of your picks and still have a future, you know, cause I agree. KD's not going to stay there long-term. But if you can get 1 to 2 seasons, you know, Kawhi, take a run at a championship.
Kawhi Leonard-like?
Yep, exactly. That's – I still – the Laker one's the better deal. And that would be a – that would be a – that'd probably be the craziest trade in NBA history, right? AD for KD. I can't think of another – like a bigger blockbuster trade.
That would be a crazy trade. And there's not a loser in that scenario. That's – I think that's what – corner, and this was the one thing that could help him. It's crazy because there's nobody on the table as good as Anthony Davis when he's healthy, right?
Right.
So that alone makes you feel like, oh, we're losing Kevin Durant, but we're bringing in AD. That's a little easier to stomach than we're losing KD and here's a bunch of spare parts. Right?
Right, exactly.
So, wow. So interesting. And this might all be not all for naught. Maybe Golden State just repeats again. I don't know.
No, they're not going to have that easy of a run to the finals. In that
no, they definitely won't. But they will also have 3 new players coming their way that were on the team a year ago that will be maybe ready to fill out a bench. So there's not a lot of teams in the league that say we have 3 dudes who just sat for a year and now might be ready to contribute 10 to 15 minutes. That's the thing.
Right.
And you have, and the Clay piece is one of the biggest question marks in the league. So he was so up and down this year, but it was his, he only came back in like 3 months ago. So now he has an off season to rehab. If he's more like Clay, that's a huge addition too. That's where I come at it with the Warriors. So I agree. They'll have a harder path, but they should be better. Right.
Yeah, it should be. If Clay is Clay, if he can get back to where he was a couple of years ago, then definitely.
Yes, that's a huge question mark coming off the injuries, but it is fair to say what we saw this year from Clay will not be, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that is what he's going to be, because that he ate You know, he needed to play and get his legs back, and now he has that benchmark before he spends a summer getting healthier and better. So it's interesting. The NBA has just a unique way. It's almost like the off seasons are more fun than the season.
I would agree. The off season, the playoffs is probably the most fun, and then the off season, and then the regular
season. Yep. That's such a good point. The NFL, it's like NFL's off season is not usually this interesting, but no. It's just a great, it's great from start to finish. It's not great from start to finish in the NBA, but the off season is just insane. It's crazy.
It is.
All well, right.
And this isn't it. I'm sure something else will happen too. Like there's usually more than just one main event during the off season.
What could even be as interesting as this?
Probably nothing, but maybe something slightly below.
Kawhi Leonard wanting back to San Antonio.
There you go. Yeah, Kawhi could.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Seeing the writing on the wall, joining forces with LeBron and sign and trade, get Kyrie up to Portland. Portland's known for being weird. Kyrie's weird. Maybe that's a fit.
There you go. That's awesome.
All right, Jordan, you're the man. Thanks for spending some time with me on this emergency podcast.
Anytime, man. Take care.
Yep, see ya.